Live from the WLIWFM studio in Southampton, New York, on Thursday, May 23rd, 2024, I'm Gianna Volpe. Long Islanders' overwhelming approval of school budgets Tuesday marked one of the most unified and least controversial votes here in memory, sending a message that people living in Nassau and Suffolk value their schools and are willing to support them with their wallets. Craig Schneider reporting on Newsday.com that Long Islanders not only approved virtually every proposed budget for their 124 districts, rejecting only the Sachem and West Babylon spending plans, but they did so often by large margins, according to Michael Dawidziak, a Bayport political consultant and pollster. Quote, "I think this was probably the most cohesive school budget vote, largely lacking anger and controversy that I've seen on Long Island," said Dawidziak, noting he's followed local voting since the 70s. The voting on school board elections and budgets occurred during a time when Governor Kathy Hochul had threatened to eliminate the Hold Harmless policy, which guarantees no school district can receive less state aid than it did the previous year. The plan was eventually scrapped. Moreover, Dawidziak said he heard little of the rhetoric critical of teachers' salaries or calling for book bans or discrediting the methods of teaching diversity and equity. If anything, he heard more concern about the scores of teacher layoffs across Long Island. Robert Vecchio, executive director of the Nassau-Suffolk School Boards Association, said he also saw a sense of solidarity among Long Islanders for their schools. He noted several districts approved their budgets by upward of 70%. For example, Amagansett voters approved their school budget 148 yes to 43 no's, a 77% endorsement. Comac voters approved theirs 1,701 to 400, or 81%, and Brentwood approval was 651 votes, saying yes to 183 nays, or 78%. Once again, the power of the state teachers union showed itself in school board elections. 71 of the 84 candidates endorsed by the New York State United Teachers were victorious, according to the union. In other news, representatives of Key Capture Energy, a company seeking to build a 50-megawatt battery energy storage facility on LIPA-owned property in Shoreham, will make a presentation to the Wading River Civic Association tonight. Quote, "The project is tentatively proposed." That is a quote from Key Capture Energy representative Phil Denara. Denise Civiletti reporting on riverheadlocal.com that the company is currently conducting community outreach. Quote, "Our goal is to have a very inclusive process and ensure that all stakeholders are involved throughout the application process." Key Capture hopes to be able to begin construction in the fourth quarter of 2025, according to Denara. The 57-acre site located in the town of Brookhaven is already developed with the decommissioned nuclear power plant built in the 70s and 80s, a 138-kilovolt, substation, and the cross-sound cable, which connects the LIPA power grid to suppliers in Connecticut. The best facility would be developed on a portion of the property on the west side of the site, bordering more than 300 acres of wooded, undeveloped land owned by National Grid. Battery energy storage systems store electricity for distribution to the electric grid at times of peak demand or times when renewable energy production by wind or solar power generating facilities cannot meet demand. The Civic Association meeting will take place tonight, 7:30 p.m., Wading River Congregational Church. That's 2057 North Country Road in Wading River. Here on the South Fork, friends of the Long Pond Greenbelt and South Fork Natural History Museum inviting folks to join them tonight on a leisurely paced full flower moon hike through open field trails. When I saw the moon last night, I was thinking, gosh, I have a full moon edition all prepared for folks. I missed the opportunity. It's all right. We gave you Sean instead. back to SoFo. It looks like in most areas, flowers are abundant everywhere during this time, thus the name of the moon. Other names include the full corn planting moon or the milk moon. Many come from native roots, what we call these full moons, if not all of them. Refreshments afterward. You can meet at the SoFo Museum parking lot. That's 377 Bridge Hampton Turnpike, 200 yards north of the LIRR tracks. 8:30 p.m. to register. You can email greenbeltnews@aol.com or contact Day Dayton at 631-745-0689. And finally, the Palm Tree Music Festival of the Hamptons, a day-long electronic dance music festival slated to take place at Gabreski in West Hampton on June 22nd, appears to have been displaced by the Federal Aviation Administration's rejection of its application to hold it at the airport. Christopher Walsh reporting on 27East.com that the festival is to feature Swedish House Mafia, the Norwegian DJ Kygo, the Florida-based duo Sophie Tucker, and the German producer and DJ Purple Disco Machine, as well as Zandra, Will Sass, and Flat Stanley. The festival was held at the airport in 2021, 2022, and last year, but a new FAA policy on the temporary closure of airports for non-aeronautical purposes took effect last June. Quote, the FAA must approve proposals to temporarily close a portion of an airport for non-aeronautical purposes and advise the airport it would not grant approval for the event in future years. According to a statement provided by the FAA's New York Airport's district office, the notice of the new policy published in the Federal Register outlined new requirements for FAA approval of temporary disclosures, which the FAA applied when reviewing this proposal. The statement reads, nonetheless, Squadra Entertainment, the festival's production company, continued to offer tickets to the event this week. Three tiers of general admission tickets are priced between, looks like, roughly $230 and $387.11, three tiers of VIP admission priced between $397.42 and $572.68. Shuttle passes from Montauk and New York City, as well as a parking pass, are also offered. The airport is owned by the county. County Executive Ed Romaine said Tuesday that the county's position is that they'll appeal the FAA's decision, adding, we're not too hopeful that the appeal will be addressed successfully. Staying in the Hamptons for the weather, in honor of our first guest this morning, Amagansett resident Susan Kaufman, whose new photo book, Walk With Me Hamptons, dropped last week. Looking like a chance of showers and thunderstorms between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., then a slight chance of showers after 2. Cloudy, otherwise, with a high near 71 degrees. Southwest wind around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 56 degrees. Southwest wind 3 to 8 miles per hour. Right now, it's 61 degrees. And I've got a Walk Chalk playlist prepared for you in honor of Susan and our guests at the bottom of the next hour, Wendy Weiss and Chris Jones of East End Arts. Very excited to have them both in the studio. And you can see us on WLIW.org/radio. If you click the Watch Now tab, our live streaming cameras are now operational, so you can see us as well as hear us. What do we got? Bill Doggett, Dire Straits, and Stick Figure, all in your immediate listening future. But first, Bob Doro, Walk On, from the Right On My Way Home record of 1997, and then we'll hop back two decades for that Bill Doggett slow walk track right here on Long Island's only local NPR radio station, WLIWFM. We're here because of you, the listener supporter, donating to WLIWFM.org. Thank you.
fellow with determination meets a woman, dynamite won't budge. It's a classic kind of confrontation, and the winner, well, you can be the judge. I'm walking with my baby, feature this. Most every time I stop to ask her for a kiss, she'd say, "Don Juan, I think we'd best walk on." Well, someone should have told me to bring a bike, for how was I to know that it would be more like a marathon? Every time she'd say, "Walk on," she lifted her eyes to the stars in the skies and spoke of a cottage to share. But when I said, "Darling, this talking about love is not getting us anywhere," she said, "Now, honey, I know you like to swing. Well, here's a little finger that could use a ring." Then came the dawn. I said, "We'd best walk on." Well, I'm walking with my baby and I'm doing fine. If I just told the mark each time she draws the line, that line was drawn every time she'd say, "Walk on." A nightingale decided to sing along, and how did she react to that romantic song? A stifled yawn. Translation: just walk on. She gazed once again at the moon up above and spoke of a love that could last. I tried to remind her this talking about love was getting us nowhere and fast. I finally got so antsy, I made my move. "If this is a commitment," she said, "we can groove." Thereupon, I said, "We'd best walk on." The moon slipped away and the stars faded fast. On her face was a look of resign. "I know it's the 90s," she whispered at last. "So will it be your place or mine?" She covered me with kisses that left no doubt. I'd finally worn her down, but that had worn me out. I said, "Doggone, I guess we'd best walk." And so we did walk on into the blazing dawn. We just walked on.
Looks like we're walking on into a thunderstorm here in Southampton Village. Just saw a nice lightning bolt. Be careful out there, guys. It was so beautiful driving to the studio this morning. I think it might have been the front coming in. Stay with us. Susan Kaufman joining us soon. Right here on the Heart of the East End Morning and Midnight Show. With me, Gianna Volpe, on your public radio station, WLIWFM. Listener supported with donations to WLIWFM.org. Same place you can see us and hear us from wherever you may be. Doggett leading us to the bottom of the 9 o'clock hour here on Thursday morning. This edition of The Heart brought to you by Long Island Game Farm as well as Guildhall. Very grateful to have on the line with us Susan Kaufman, who has a gorgeous photo book that was released last Tuesday.
Yes, May 14th.
How has the release been going?
You know, it's been kind of great, overwhelming, exciting, you know, just being out here for it. We had a nice kickoff party at the Ralph Lauren store on Main Street in East Hampton, and I got a nice write-up in the East Hampton Star, so a lot of local things are happening, and the response seems to be great, so I'm very excited.
You used the magic word, which is local. You know, my favorite part, other than the walks and drives part, is that while the book benefits visitors most, you approach it like a year-rounder, i.e. you get the see the region at its most gorgeous, the spring, the fall, and winter. Can you talk a little bit about the process shooting the book overall?
Yeah, well, I've been coming out here for about 30 years, and in the last 5 or 6 years, I've been lucky enough to be out here all year long and really be able to spend time.
Right.
And I personally, as much as summer is great, it's really nice when fall hits and the leaves change and things get a little quieter. So I love to shoot in every season. Fall is probably my favorite.
Oh, it's so beautiful. My favorite shots in the book were your fall photos.
And I think so many people just think of the Hamptons as a playground and a summer playground and the beach, which, of course, you have that. But for people who live here, too, and can experience the beauty of it 12 months out of the year, you know, we're kind of the lucky ones.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I love shooting in Sag Harbor. I'm in Amagansett, so I love walking in Amagansett. But, you know, every little town has their special places and their seasonal beauty. So
can you talk about, you know, your favorite walks and drives? Who did those maps?
Yeah, we found Abrams, which is my publisher. When I was doing my first book, which was the New York City book, gave me a whole bunch of illustrators to choose from to work on the maps. And we found this guy, this amazing illustrator called Michael Hill, and he's based in London, but he really is an actual cartographer. He does real maps. And I wanted all the maps to be as accurate as possible, like a real map that people can use. They can screen grab it from the page, and you have really a true map at your disposal. So, and he also does buildings, and he adds a little whimsy to it, so they're pretty and engaging, but they're also functional.
Yeah, they're fabulous. I learned something new, Sagaponic, the Shinnecock word for land, the big ground nuts. Are those potatoes? Are those the big ground nuts?
No. I thought, you know, I did a lot of research for this book as I was going through it, and I learned a lot also, and that one just really cracked me up. But according to what I read, it had nothing to do with potatoes.
Okay.
So maybe there were a lot of nuts back then.
What are some things that you learned that you didn't know going through the, you know, researching the region for this book?
Well, so many of what I learned were, you know, the town pond in East Hampton, which has been there since it was founded in the early 1600s, was a sheep grazing area for the farmers. So you can just sort of picture it as you're driving through, these sheep grazing along the town pond, the beautiful town pond of East Hampton. And then there's a house called Rowdy Hall and in East Hampton on Egypt Lane. And the history of this one house is just fascinating. It was called Rowdy Hall because artists in the 1800s were living there and they partied all the time. But then later on, it became the summer house of Jackie Kennedy Onassis's grandparents. So this one house just has such an incredible history to it. You would never know it driving by. I shoot what I find beautiful and pleasing, and I love the charm and the history. So after I took the pictures and did the layouts, I started doing the research on all of these places, and you just find out these fun facts.
Speaking of choosing the photos and doing the layout, how did you decide on the cover photo, which is a beautiful one?
Oh, thank you. I narrowed down to about 20 photos that I thought could potentially be covers, and the designer at Abrams mocked a lot of them up, and then we got it down to basically two pictures. And it's kind of gut instinct. I loved the purple wisteria.
Yes.
I loved that it was a real historical building in East Hampton. It's Home Sweet Home, Mulford Farm. So it just visually, it just looked the most appealing. It felt very, if you're thinking of the Hamptons and this sort of quintessential American town, to me, that it represented everything that's beautiful about the Hamptons, the shingles, the wisteria, the lushness, the American flag, and it kind of all came together, I think, in that one photo.
And the Montauk Light, was that during the renovation?
Yes. I drove out there numerous times trying to get the photo because I really
you wanted the color?
Iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, you know, so many people shoot it from the cliffs and these, and just the fact that it was flowering, I shot that last spring. I just loved the flowers in the foreground and sort of having it be there, but to end the book, but not be the main focus that you see in all the postcard pictures.
Well, it's going to be absolutely, because not only from the direction that you're shooting it, but the fact that it was undressed at the time, There was a very small window where that photo was even possible. So it's a really cool note. It's now more about you. Can you talk about your journey to becoming a photographer?
Oh, you know, it was kind of happenstance and organic. I worked in magazines most of my career for about 35 years. I was a fashion editor at Glamour and Mademoiselle magazines, and then the editor-in-chief of a spinoff of People magazine called People Style Watch. But while I was at Mademoiselle and Glamour, and I had an actual Nikon camera with an 80-millimeter lens, I shot models, I shot fashion and beauty, and I styled it. So I always had a love of photography, and I always connected most with the photographers. But this whole process really didn't start until Instagram came along and the iPhone and my Fitbit, because I started walking around New York and walking around Amagansett, and I had an iPhone with me at all times to take pictures and a place that I could post these images. And that's how this part of my journey and career kind of took off after I stopped working in magazines. And the whole book was shot on my iPhone.
You know, so. It shows. I have three things I want to say. As someone who got their degree in photography and photojournalism, there was a standby I always stood by when I was graduating, which was these things, and I would hold up the iPhone, are putting photojournalists like me out of work every day. It's just reality. These things take gorgeous high-res images if, you know, you use them correctly. Number two, you absolutely can see you're shooting these buildings and these spaces the way that models were shot. You know, you can see that beautiful, you know, these buildings look alive. They look like models. And the third thing is that when I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, this is like a companion's guide for an influencer or someone who is coming to the region and wants to know, like, where can I get beautiful aesthetic, even selfies or whatever, images.
That's not what happened.
But this book, if you were that person, right, and this book would be like a Bible for you, for this region, as I imagine, you know, the New York City. Were there any differences? I guess just the area.
The subject matter. I really wanted it to be the same feeling as the New York book, only for here, These books came about, too, because so many of the people who followed me on Instagram would say, I'm visiting New York or I'm visiting the Hamptons. Where should I go? And I would write up these documents that I would send to them. And I thought, well, and then people kept saying, you should do a book. You should do a book. Right. So this was my way of also connecting with all these people who followed me who wanted to know. And I thought, if they come, these are the places that I personally find the most compelling and beautiful. It might not be for every tourist, you know, it's not the main touristy areas, but it's to me what I find the most beautiful. So yes, it is very personal.
Yes.
And you connect with people on Instagram who share the same kind of aesthetic. So, you know, that's what's been nice, just hearing from people how much they appreciate it too. And seeing parts of the Hamptons or New York that they might not even have known about.
Right.
So.
That they might have missed out on. And it's beautiful.
I really appreciate that.
Are there some stores that you know for a fact have it on the shelves? I usually, when I have authors on, remind folks that they can go to any of their local bookshops. And if the book is not on the shelves, you can ask them to order it. That usually seems to be an option.
Oh, absolutely. Bookhampton is fully stocked, and I sign them there. And if you want them signed, you can go on the website and personalize it. And I'll go there and sign them for anyone who wants a signed copy. And Sag Harbor Bookstore. But it's also being sold in a lot of specialty stores, too, because it really is, it's more of a gifty item and a fun item more than a serious coffee table book. So a lot of the Hudson Grace, I'm doing a signing there in Sag Harbor. It's part of Sylvester and Company. I'll be doing a signing there on Sunday from 4 to 6. So they'll be carrying it. Sage and Madison, Shop Sunshine in East Hampton is carrying it. So a lot of the local stores will have it.
Fantastic. Susan, what didn't we touch on before I let you go? Anything that we didn't talk about as far as Walk With Me Hamptons is concerned?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I really appreciate all your comments, especially coming from someone who studied photography. That means a lot to me.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous images. And I'm very grateful to you for your time and for this book. I'm Gianna Volpe. That was Susan Kaufman. The book is Walk With Me Hamptons. This is Stick Figure. Oh, no. These are the Dire Straits. And you, whoever you are out there, you're awesome. And you're listening to WLIWFM NPR Radio.
Thank you. the call of peace in time of change. Let me sing a song, let me sing about you. Every single song is a sing about you. Every single song is directly about you. Look into my eyes, you know.
Stick Figure on WLIWFM, Buddy Hopping Past, Jimmy Rogers and Left Hand Frank, The Head and the Heart, even Tex Beneke and his orchestra. Let's play a little Aerosmith. Neil Diamond and Johnny Cash on deck here on WLIWFM's Heart of the East End with Gianna Volpe. Little Neil Diamond, Walk on Water. If you're here in the village of Southampton, you're walking through water. It's raining, my friends.
Walk on water. Ain't it like her? She leads the children. Ain't it right? Ain't it right? Ain't it right? And ain't it wondrous? Ah, the way she does it. Gives love and loves it. Ain't it right? Ain't it right? Ain't it right?
Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, as well as Elvis Costello and the Roots, in your immediate listening free future. But first, the one and only Johnny Cash on WLIWFM.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right. Because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
Listening to WLIWFM NPR Radio. NPR News up next.
Right, say.